Thank you, Ron. Thank you, team, for leading us. What a great bunch of folks to serve with. And thank you for this. Hearing your voices was great. It was great just to hear your voices and not so many of the choir and the people on the platform. It's sometimes right here in the beginning, right here on the front, that's what I hear. I don't hear you sing, but boy, it was great to hear you sing. And I think there's, Ron, I think there's probably several, maybe five or six, maybe 20 more voices sitting out there that should be sitting up here during choir. So I've heard you and I've identified you, and we're going to pray you back into the choir. Amen. Amen. I hope you brought your Bibles with you. We're going to be looking at a bunch of verses of Scripture as we launch this brand new series. I've been working on this for several weeks now. Just the Lord had just put on my heart to talking about, because we hear this word called. We hear this word calling. And oftentimes we have a tendency to think that's only a ministerial slang or language that we should say, or ministerial word that we said, hey, that person is called to ministry. While that is the case, now I believe beyond a shadow of doubt, Scripture bears fruit that we are all called by God. So the today's message title is, the call is for you. The call is for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, a very familiar verse of Scripture that we'll be launching from, and we're going to talk a good bit about that in the beginning of this message. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Who have been called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in Your sight. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity to stand here today and unpack Your word. And I pray, Father, that You'll do the miraculous in this place, that we walk away from here differently than when we came. Lord, we thank You for Ron and his leadership and helping our music ministry move into new directions and new opportunities. And thank You for the tremendous help that we have here technically, and all our sound and our crew that makes everything work so beautifully. Father, we thank You that in a few short weeks we'll have choir and orchestra back and new praise team singers on the platform leading us and prompting us into the area of worship, Father. And I pray that You'll receive all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Father, we thank You now for Your word. It never returns void. I pray, Father, that You remove any obstacles standing in the way from us hearing specifically from You today, as You direct us and guide us through Your word today, that we will get a grasp of a greater understanding of the calling on each and every one of our lives. And Father, we love You, we praise You, and we thank You for what You're about to do in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. This, quite honestly, might be one of the most beloved verses of Scripture in the Holy Bible. It probably is one that more people identify with and say and quote. Maybe John 3:16 would be greater, or John 11:35, Jesus wept, or some of those verses that we would lean into a little bit more. But this one identifies the believer. This one really sets the purpose for our lives. It says we know that in all things God works for good to those who love Him. Now, we usually stop right there. We just kind of say that's good for me right there. I don't want the rest of that verse of Scripture. We leave off the second half. We know that in all things, not just the good things in life, but the bad things in life. And by the way, there are some ugly things in life. There are some ugly situations going on here in Marietta and around the world. In all things, God works for the good to those who love Him. It doesn't say that they're all good. It says that there are some bad things, and He still loves that. Not all things that happen in a person's life is good. Not everything that happens in a person's life comes out fine. In all things, God works them together for good. He can bring good even in the midst of the worst situations of our life. Now, let me just back up a little bit. Maybe many of you remember where you were on September the 11th, 9/11. You probably know exactly where you were on that day when that horrific situation and the attack on our nation happened. Was that a good day? No. But what did it do? It pointed us as the church of the living God back to the Father. It got us on our knees before all things. God works all things, good, bad, or indifferent, for His good. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called, and I should check, you should underscore the word called, according to His purpose. Now, the word call and purpose, we should tie write a line directly to each other, because both of them should be tied together, the line between, because calling and purpose go together. If I were to say to you, and when the first thing that, if I said, hey, what do you say, what do you think of when I hear, when you hear the word call, C-A-L-L, most of us would immediately think about a phone call. Now, phone calls are good, but some phone calls can also be bad. Phone calls can be interruptions. Phone calls can be for information. Phone calls can be pointless, to be quite honest with you. And some can give you much needed information. As a pastor, sometimes when I get a phone call, if I get a phone call, it's sometimes not a good thing. This week, I got a phone call. A dear, dear brother is in ICU in Alabama, and he's not doing well. Inspected not to live. He is in a bad, bad shape. And it was a bad phone call. He is in bad, bad shape, not knowing where he is right now. He is one of my closest friends that I've ever had in my entire life. It was a terrible phone call. And the reason I know it was a phone call, it wasn't from him. It was from his partner in his business. And his partner, she called me. And when I see her phone pop up on my phone, I know there's got to be something wrong, because she hardly ever, in fact, the matter is, I don't think she's ever called me. I don't even know why I have her listed in my address book. Maybe because she's a partner with my friend. But she, her phone popped up, and I said, this has got to be bad. Deb and I were sitting together, and I said, I don't think this is going to be good. And so she called and told me that he was in ICU in a local hospital in Birmingham and not expected to live. A dear friend of mine. So sometimes phone calls are bad information. Some are good information. Some are phone calls like I received late yesterday evening from a dear friend. I should say he's a dear friend. Sometimes I wonder if we're dear friends, but he is a big, big Crimson Tide fan. He's a big Alabama fan. And so Cherokee called me yesterday. I hadn't heard from him in weeks. Weeks have I not heard from him. And yet he calls me and says, hey, man, how you doing? I said, well, go ahead and get it over with. He jabbed me a little bit because Alabama beat Auburn at the buzzer last night in the overtime in Auburn. And so he jabbed me a little bit. Sometimes phone calls can be irritating. And that one was irritating. But you see, we all get calls, right? But let's say the phone rings one day and you pick it up and you see that it's a number and you say, well, it looks okay. It doesn't look too suspicious. It's not some kind of exchange number that you've never seen before. It's maybe a 770 exchange. And you say, well, my goodness. And so you answer it and the person on the other end says, by the way, I want you to know you just won $50 million. How many of y'all go, whoo, hallelujah? You get all fired up about that. Quite possibly you played the lottery and you just got a call that you won the lottery, right? Some calls are good. Some calls are not so good. But the Bible says to every believer on planet Earth that is a believer and saved by God's glorious grace that we are already been called. We have been called according to His purpose. Now, Romans 8:28 is a very familiar verse. We just read it. We unpacked it just a little bit. But if you go down two or three more verses, Romans 8 verse 30 gives us more details. Now, notice what it says. Those that have been predestined, those that God predestined, He also, underlined, called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Now, there is a lot of heavy theological phrases in that one verse of scripture, would you not say? That is it's heavy, right? And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be unpacking some of these theological truths that God has called us. You're calling, or you're called, that God says you have been called. So what does that actually mean? The Greek word for calling is kaleo. It's almost like call. It's a word like kaleo, which means God is calling you. It is used well over 100 times throughout Scripture. Most of the time it's talking about an assignment in your life, a purpose in your life, a mission in your life. The reason that God created you, it is a calling. Now, the word purpose is actually the word calling. When you trace it down, it's the same word, which refers to the same thing. And it's used 10 different times throughout Scripture. And so it's an emphasis that God has a calling or a purpose on every one of us in this room, and every person that is saved by his grace. The Greek word is called kaleo, calling. The Latin word, if you wanted to chase this down, the Latin word, another word you've heard in calling, is called voce, or voca. Voce is where we get the word vocation. That's where we get the word vocation. That comes from the Latin word. It simply means to speak. It means to call. We get the word voice from that, or we get the word vocal from that. So the vocation, or vocalize, comes from the word vocation. It is indeed the same word calling. We are all called. Your calling, however, is not your career. Your calling is not your career. Now, sometimes what we do is that we use the word vocation. Well, my vocation is this. No, your vocation is your calling. Your job is your work. That's your career. Your calling is not your career. Let me explain that a little bit in detail for us. In the weeks ahead, we're going to unpack that as well. Your calling is not your career. Your calling is far, far, far more significant than your career. Your calling is larger, more all-encompassing than your career. And your vocation is misused when you say my vocation is my job. No. Your vocation is your calling. Your job is your job. Now, many of you don't have a job anymore, but you spent a great number of years building your job, your career. Now, folks, let me tell you something. The Bible talks about that. The Bible talks about different people. The Bible talks about Noah. You remember Noah in Scripture? He had a job. He had a calling on his life. He had a calling and a job. And God's calling to Abraham, and Abraham responded. God calling Moses for a purpose in life, and Moses responded. God calling Nehemiah, who was the builder, and he fulfilled that. God is calling Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. And God is calling David, and God is calling Solomon. In the New Testament, we know of some characters in the New Testament. Peter, Paul, and Mary. If you laughed at that, you are extremely old. How many of you know the band Peter, Paul, and Mary? You bunch of old people. Goodness gracious, right? Peter, Paul, and Mary. They were called. They had an incredible calling. God calling Paul, the Apostle Paul, and God's call on every person. Now, here's the message truth. And the message truth is not some catchy little phrase that I made up. The message truth is actually a couple of verses of Scripture, and here it is. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. My prayer is that the light will flood your hearts and that you will understand the hope that was given to you when God called you, and then you will discover the glorious blessing that will be yours together with all God's people. That is my prayer as your transitional pastor. That is my prayer for our lives here. Understanding our calling, understanding the calling on our lives. When we understand the calling on our lives, we become rich with the blessings from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together with all of God's people. The glorious blessings together with all of God's people. He is saying, when you know your calling, you understand the discovery of the incredible blessings that you have been missing out on. When you really lock in on your calling, understanding your purpose in life and fulfilling that calling in your life, you will understand the glorious, glorious blessings that he has for each and every one of us today. Now, today, I want to talk to you in the next few minutes what I need to know about my life's calling. I think there are 8 things for us to consider today. I feel like Charles Stanley for a second. Charles Stanley used to say, I got one verse of scripture and 22 points for you to consider. He would say that. I said, my goodness. And then an hour later, it's like, my goodness, that was good, right? I'm not even close to Charles Stanley, but I do have 8 points for you today. Number one is this. My calling is a gift from God. My calling is a gift from God. Notice what the verse, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 says. God, by his grace, through Christ, has called you to become his people. Now, dear friends, listen to me. My calling is a gift from God. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I don't work for it. I don't bargain for it. I don't barter for it. It is a flat out grace gift calling from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is presented to me. We are created in me. When he created me, he called me, and it's called by his grace. Notice what it says again. God, by his grace through Christ, has called you to become his people. I would underscore those 3 words, by his grace. It's by his grace. So what is grace? Grace is the undeserved kindness that God gives us. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us. When God gives us what we need, we would definitely not like what we need. If we got what we were deserving, we wouldn't like that whatsoever. But we can get to enjoy what we are given because he gives it to us, and it's his grace. The fact that God says, I will give you what you need, not what you deserve, that's grace enough alone. Amen? Grace is the fact that God knows every dumb mistake that you and I make, that we're going to make in life, and the ones that we've already made. He still chose to give us grace and a calling on our life. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Paul writing to the young Timothy, he says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose. And say it with me. Grace. Because his own purpose and grace, he gives that to us. The calling to Christ Jesus in salvation is a calling to your purpose in life. He saved us and called us. They go together to a holy life. Not because of anything that you and I could ever do or have ever done. He reached down from the halls of heaven and gave us the gift of eternal life. God gives me a calling in life simply because he wants to give me a calling in life. So the first principle for us to consider today is my calling is a gift from God. Number two, my calling, I'm called to for God's purpose. Now, I'm not called for my purpose. I'm called for God's purpose. He has a specific plan and purpose for each and every one of our lives. That's how big God is. Now, I know I'm speaking to the choir. I know that I'm speaking to longtime Christians in this room, that many of you. But this is a reminder when you feel downtrodden, when you feel like everything's falling apart around you, remember that I am called for God's purpose. Notice what Paul wrote to the church at Rome in chapter 9, verse 11. The New Century Version is so beautiful. Listen to what he says. Before 2 boys were born, God told Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. Now get this. This was before the boys had done anything good or bad. God said, this is the one, so that the one chosen would be chosen because God's own plan. He was chosen because he was the one God wanted to call, not because he had done anything or anything he had done. Not mine, but God's. I am called for my plan that God has shaped for me. I'm called for God's purpose, not my purpose. I'm called for God's purpose. To think that I'm called for my purpose is foolish. That says you're putting yourself ahead of God. When you think of God created you to live selfish little life, no, dear friends. God didn't call us to be self-centered. We have a lot of Christians in the society today, none in this room, but you'll identify them when you're about. It's all about them. I want my place. I want my life. I want my air conditioning. I want my heat. I want my. We have a lot of self-centered Christians, don't we? Feel like the whole thing's about them. Now, let me tell you something, dear friends. God did not make you for you. You were made by God, and you were made for God. You were made by God, and you were made for God. Until we understand that, life is going to be very difficult, and it's going to be senseless in our own lives. And we're going to get very bored, and we're going to get very frustrated, and we're going to have all kinds of difficulty because you don't understand that you were made for God, by God, and you were made for His good pleasure. I am called for God's purpose. God's calling is about His plan for my life, not my plan for my life. He, in reality, for my life, not my dreams, but His reality for me. His purpose, not my purpose. But sometimes we even have parents that say, well, God has shaped you for a specific thing. No. Listen to me. God has shaped us for what He wants us to do, not what we want to do. Can I get an amen to that? A good example of that, I just read a verse that Paul talked about, two guys. Jacob and Esau, you know these characters in Bible. They were twins. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had two sons, twins, who were Jacob and Esau. In those days, the firstborn child, particularly the firstborn son, would get all of the credit. You know that. They would get all the credit. So they got all the glory. They got all the love, so to speak. The firstborn was the one who would inherit all the family inheritance. It was like, you are so special because you're the firstborn. You're numero uno. You're great. You're going to get everything. And then number two comes along and says, oh, thank you. Here's your participation trophy. Thank you for showing up. So God had a different plan. God didn't like that. So in case of Esau and Jacob, Esau was the firstborn. And God says, I have a calling for Esau's life and I have a calling for Jacob's life. But because I want to do this, we're going to reverse this in order. I'm going to choose Jacob to get the blessing of the firstborn son, even though he was born second. He goes on to say, he said, I told his mother Rebekah before they were even delivered. Romans chapter 9. Before the two boys were born, God told Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. That's exactly opposite of the culture of the day, right? That was before the boys had even done anything. In other words, they didn't deserve it. They didn't merit any good or bad. God said this so that the one chosen would be chosen because God had a plan for choosing him that way. It was God's purpose, not their purpose. He chose them because he was the one God wanted to call, not because of anything he does. Now, let me give that from a personal illustration. I shared this a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, maybe last week it was, when Deb came to faith in Christ, 43 years ago now, I think it is, 43 years ago that Deb came to faith in Christ. I recommitted my life to Christ. It was an earlier call at 18 years old as a senior in high school when I was called to preach, and I said, no, God, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go make a lot of money one day. I'm going to be this, and I've got my track, and I'm going to give back to you, Lord. That was my barter to God. Leave me alone. You've got four of my cousins. You don't need me, God. Well, God had a different plan. When I came back to faith in Christ, recommitted my life to the Lord, and realized my calling was irrevocable, it was still there, I began to pray. And here's the prayer. I vividly remember a prayer like this. God, I'm signing my name on this check. I don't even know what the amount is. But I'm saying to you, I'm yours, and I'm going to serve you the rest of my life, and I'm going to fulfill the calling that you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen. That was that prayer, similar to that, just about those same words. I prayed the prayer, and as soon as I finished that prayer, do you know what happened? Nothing. No angels came down flapping their wings around me. No hallelujah, no chorus, no anthems, no praise band, no praise singers, no blinding light happened to me, no thunder, no lightning. My hair didn't turn gray like Charleston Heston in I Parted Water. No, nothing like that happened. But that moment was a turning point in my life. That moment, I recognized God's right on my life. I realized that it was not my will, but God's will for me to do whatever He wanted me to do. It was not my calling, it was His calling on my life. And from that moment on, I became what is called a bivocational person. Bivocational simply means, which I had a job to put food on the table, to pay the house payment and all the car, whatever bills we had to pay, but I would have a calling on my life. My career and my calling, sometimes they would match up, and sometimes they would not match up at all. But because my calling was from God, the career was just how I operated to make a living. Get this, write this down. If it's the only thing you ever write that I give you, I challenge you to write this down. A career makes a living. A calling makes a life. A career makes a living, but a calling makes a life. And from that point on, I became bivocational for the rest of my life. My job has changed many, many times. The operations that I operate in has changed many times. My calling has never, ever changed, regardless of what my job may have looked like. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We love chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a free gift of God that any man should boast. But we stop right there at the water's edge, don't we? Because verse 10 really calls us out. Notice what it says. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Oh, my dear friends, gather in here close. You and I have a calling that is unique to each and every one of us. My calling is my calling. Ron's calling is his calling. Deb's calling is her calling. Every one of us have a calling on our life, and that's how big God is, because He has a plan, a strategic plan for each and every one of us. Now, first, it says we are God's workmanship. I would underline that because that's a unique word. We don't walk around in the 21st century and say, well, I'm God's workmanship, do we? We don't say that very much, do we? Right? It's kind of boastful. But I challenge you to underscore that. The word in the Bible, in the Greek, says we're poma, which where we get the word poem from. You are God's poem. You are God's work of art. You are God's craftsmanship. You are God's workmanship. Many translations in the Bible translate those words differently, but here's the one I love more than any of. It says, you are God's masterpiece. God's masterpiece. You say, well, I don't think too much about, man, I'm not certain I'm a masterpiece. I don't see that I'm a work of art, Dan. You don't realize how valuable you are to God then, if you don't see that you're a masterpiece. You say, I'm not a masterpiece. I'm pretty beat up piece of junk. Well, gathering here close, don't miss this. You are not junk. Jesus didn't die for junk. Jesus did not die for junk. He died for you as a masterpiece. If you look at Jesus on the cross, His outstretched arms and the nail-pierced hands that we will be celebrating every day of our lives, He's saying, this is how valuable you are to me. You are valuable enough for me to die for. You're not junk, because God does not create junk. Jesus doesn't die for junk. The Holy Spirit does not die for junk. Dear friends, gather in here close. Don't miss this. You are God's masterpiece. Man, you're a beautiful piece of poetry. Amen? You are God's masterpiece. And it shows when you are fulfilling your calling in your life. If you'll try to be somebody else you want to be, you're going to miss your calling. Your true beauty, your true greatness won't come out if you try to be somebody that you're not. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Those good works are your contribution to the world. Those good works are what you give back to the world. When you don't put on this planet just to breathe and take up space and die. You are put here simply not to be a consumer, but you're here to give a contribution back to the world. Your life contribution is your good works. Here's the cool thing about that. We all have a different good works. We do. I just love, I'm just now getting to know Ron over the last few months that he's been coming to serve us, but I just love this brother. I just love his vision for worship ministry and leading worship ministry and moving us to the next generation of reaching the next generation. What have we got to do that? I just love his passion. But more importantly, I just love that he is operating inside his calling. He's operating inside his calling, and he leans into that. He is God's masterpiece in that area. And for me to do what Ron does, we're going to be in serious trouble. We're going to be in serious. I've said this often. I was cut out to be a singer. I was just sewed up wrong. I mean, I love to sing and worship, but I'm just not anywhere close to him. And I'm sure Ron can deliver a wonderful sermon somewhere along the way, but that's not his true calling, right? God makes us differently and gives us different callings so that the world gets everything that needs to happen. The world gets blessed because of the contributions that we make. You are God's workmanship, created to make good contributions. God prepared in advance. Notice that verb, prepared in advance for us to do. This means long, long, long time ago, Doug, he prepared in advance what he wants us to do. The third principle for you to do that, for you to understand today is this. God chose my calling before I was born. Now let that just marinate on you a little bit right there. God chose my calling before I was born. Galatians chapter 1 verse 15 says, it pleased God in his kindness to choose me and call me even before I was born. What undeserving mercy. He knew us before we were born. By the way, he knew your name before you were named. He knows our name. He knows us before we were born. Abortion is so wrong because God knew you and I before we were born. I've said this time and time again. There are accidental parents. Yes, there are accidental parents. But guess what? There are no accidental babies. None. Zero. Before I shaped you, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before I saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Isaiah 44, verse 2, I am your creator. You are in my care even before you were born. This proves that God is in control of all things, not by accident, that you are deeply loved by him and he is in control of all things. He knew you before you were born. You were in God's care before you were in the, while you were in the mother's womb. Even while before you were come out of the womb, God had a plan for you. Number four, my sin and my mistake. My sins and my mistakes don't change my calling. I am so thrilled this one. I am so glad for this principle. My sins and my mistakes don't change my calling. Now, I want to contrary for some of you saying, well, no, Pastor, you're perfect. I know you don't make mistakes. Well, I do. Shocking as it may sound, I do make mistakes, and so do you. So we're in this thing together. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says, by calling me into his service, Jesus has judged me trustworthy, even though I used to be a blasphemer and a persecutor and contemptuous. Mercy, however, was shown me because while I lacked faith, I acted ignorance. Oh my goodness, praise God for that verse. Praise God. Somebody, if you're going to applaud, applaud, okay? Don't just halfway do it. Thank you very much. It's not for me, for him. I'm so glad that my mistakes and my sins don't change my calling. No matter how messed up your life has been, whether you have messed up or somebody has messed up on you, no matter how screwy it got, no how difficult it became, no matter how dumb the decisions that you and I have made over the years, you have in the past that we've made, our calling does not change because of our sins and our mistakes. the call that God gave us before we were born, that call God gave us when we were saved. It's a calling that, see, he says, it's there forever. It is a permanent calling. God does not change that. A good example of that is the Apostle Paul. Would you say that Paul was a pretty rude dude? He was a pretty rude dude. Now, he was a brilliant mind. Obviously, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament that we study today. He was a pretty brilliant mind, but he was a pretty rude dude, right? While he lacked faith, he says, I acted ignorance. There's a saying that I see a lot of dumb stuff going on in people's lives, but that doesn't change the calling. You know what Paul was? You know who he was? He was a terrorist, to be honest with you. He was a religious terrorist, so to speak. He was going about people's homes and dragging them out into the street and throwing them into jail and killing some of them. He was a murderer. And God said, Paul, that didn't change the call I had on for your life from the beginning. Paul's calling on his life, even before the Damascus Road experience, is to do what he did. Don't just think that that lightning bolt hit him and changed his life. It changed the course he was going. Dear friends, his calling was before he was born. The fact that I love the most about God, that he never wastes anything. He fits everything, all of everything into his plan. Even my sins, even the stupidity, the stupid decisions that I've made, that I will regret for the rest of my life. God says, I am still going to use you. I was on the phone with a pastor friend of mine this week over in, I won't say what state because I don't want you to go research it, but he's going through a very difficult time. Very difficult time. And it's self-imposed. It's self-inflicted. He's done it to himself. And I sat and listened to his story, and I know that I tell you I'm not a good counselor, which I'm not. I'm a decent listener, but I'm not a good counselor, because if you come for me for any kind of spiritual deep counseling, you're probably going to leave suicidal, to be quite honest with you. I'm just not. I don't pretend to be, but I'm a great listener, and I'm going to point you through Scripture the best I can. But he had done so many dumb things. And I said, well, bro, let me just be honest with you, because I'm going to go ahead and get this out, because this is what I'm thinking about. If I had been in your leadership team, we would have fired you. It got that quiet on the phone. We would have fired you. You say, well, wait a minute. You would do that to a pastor? Yes! Because pastors make dumb mistakes. Why? Because they are sinners saved by God's grace. And God shows mercy on their life for being stupid. Amen? You say, wow, you're pretty rough on pastors. Well, I can, because it's part of my fraternity. Amen? But dear friends, let me tell you something. After he had the initial shock, I said, but guess what? God can take this huge mistake and he can turn it into his glory. But you've got to surrender to his lordship completely and let him do what he has to do. Not only can God change, God says your sins and your mistakes don't change your calling, and the sins of others against you don't change your calling either. Some of you may feel bruised right now. Some of you maybe feel a bit battered. Maybe some of you feel beat up by the world. Someone's been unfaithful to you. Maybe even somebody walked out of your life. You've had somebody betray you or reject you or have an affair on your life. I am truly, truly, truly sorry that that has happened to you. That did not change one bit of your value. Does it change one bit of the calling on your life? It has not changed regardless of what has come your way. You are still God's workmanship and God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. By the way, there is no plan B for your personal life. There's a plan A, and we need to operate in that plan A. Number five, my calling is permanent. Now I'm going to drill down just a little bit from the last principle, but my calling is permanent. Notice what Romans chapter 11 verse 29. God's gift and his calling are irrevocable. I know that verse of scripture so well, because there is no reason on what the world would say about Dan Moran that he should be standing in this pulpit today. If you knew the guy that was over in Alabama back many years ago, you would have said, there's no way that you have the right to do what you do. Now, I've got some of you piqued interest, haven't I? What is wrong with this guy? Well, that's pretty bad. But you should look in the mirror, because you probably were too. Right? My dear friends, God's calling is irrevocable. I struggled with that running from God for 11 years. And I sat down with my pastor at the time and I said, Pastor, I know God's called me to preach, but I just, by all this stuff in my life and I've done and I've been away from the Lord for 11 years. And man, I did the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. That was who I was. I did Sunday Christmas time and then I went to Easter so I could eat at mom's house. And that was basically it. I did nothing for the kingdom. How could he continue to have a calling on my life? And he said, this verse of scripture, God's gift and his calling are irrevocable. Oh, my dear friends, get off your spiritual high horse and think that if you cannot be used of God, you can. You can be used of God. And if you know somebody that's gone through some difficult times, there may be a time that he needs to set aside for a moment to replenish and refresh and recommit his life to the Lord. But dear friends, listen to me. God's call is irrevocable. It doesn't go away. It's permanent. Your calling can't be taken away from you. Satan can't take your calling away from you. You can't even take your calling away from you. Other people cannot take your calling away from you. And God won't either, because he says, I give it to you permanently. That's why Romans 11 verse 21 is there. God's gift is his calling, and his calling are irrevocable. Dear friends, my job is not my calling. My job will change from time to time, but my job is not my calling. Let me give you another verse of scripture from a different perspective, a different translation. The New Living Translation says it best this way. God's gift and God's calling, his calling, can never be withdrawn. It can't go away. No matter what happens, it's permanent. And number six, my calling is connected to others. Connected to others. Now, I want you to drill into this one, because this is what Scott's going to hit us with next week. He's going to hit us with this about being disciple makers. We are, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says, we are one body. We have the same spirit. We have all been called to the same glorious future. My calling, my assignment is from God's, my assignment from God in life, and my purpose and my vision, the dream that he's given me, the visions that he's given to me and to operate in, is connected to other people. We need each other. We need each other. That's why, and Johnny and I have talked about this time and time and time again. If you can only do 1 hour a week for God, please go to a life group. Love to have you in here hearing me preach. I know it just stem winds your heart and you just get all geeked up about it. But if you can only do 1 hour a week, please get connected to a life group, because we know, we figured this out. That life group will help you grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And you will continue as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus. And you will be actively involved in God's calling on your life. My calling and my assignment from God is to be connected to other people. We cannot fulfill the purpose of our lives by ourselves. It is totally impossible. Whether you like it or dislike it, you need people. And people need you. Calling and community go hand in hand. It is an amazing gift. Romans chapter 14 verse 7 says, none of us lives lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. We need to be connected to other believers. Another, the ESV gives a beautiful translation of Ephesians 4:4. Listen to what it says. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. It is only the connection and the community that will help me and help you fulfill my calling. Number seven, God empowers what he calls me to do. He doesn't just call us and say, okay, I've given you this call, here's your assignment, and have a nice day. No, God gives us the power to actually live out our calling. Notice what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says. Now I urge you to live the life to which God called you. Now, if God calls us, he's going to empower us to do what he wants us to do. He's going to give us the tools that we need to be fulfilling out our calling. God would never ask you and I to do anything in our lives that he does not empower us or give us the power to do. I want to read this prayer that I wrote for you this morning. God, whatever time I have left on this earth, I want to use it to fulfill your calling for me. Whether it's a week, a month, years, decades, whatever, I commit to your calling on my life. That's what I prayed for you this morning. Because many of us in this room, let's get honest, many of us in this room, we're way into the fourth quarter of life. I'm there with you. I'm there with you. Some of you aren't, but some of you are way. In fact, Deb, some of them are way into the fourth quarter of life. And some of them are just now getting started, right? But God has a plan and purpose for every one of our lives. He has a calling regardless of the age that we are in. Regardless of where we are in our stature of life right now, he has a specific plan and purpose. And my prayer is you don't sit back and say, well, I'm retired. So that gives you more time to fill out your calling. Amen? I always wonder about these guys that retire early. They just don't have, if they don't have something to do, they're going to get real bored. And they're going to have real problems with their marriage. Amen? We need to find out what God has wired us to do and fulfill out and commit to that calling. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 says, this is why we always pray for you, asking our God to help you live out the kind of life he called you to live. We pray that with his power, God will help you do the good things you want and perform the works that come from your faith. Notice what it says. Do the good things and perform the good works. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. And finally, and I close with this one. There is a prize for living out my calling. There's a prize. You can't work all this time. There's a prize for living out my calling. Notice Paul writing to the church at Philippi. He says these words, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There is a prize for living out my calling. God has promised a reward for all of us who discover and live out our calling, regardless of your age. What's the prize? The prize is that you get to enjoy everything in heaven. And I was thinking about this principle as we were closing out this week. Why would he not just save us and just take us home? Why would he not do that? Well, I came to this realization this week. It's to prove our faithfulness to him. And how does he do that? He gives us a few things. He puts a few things in our care here on planet Earth. That's opportunities and relationships. He gives us opportunities and relationships to live out our calling. If you are faithful with little, then I can trust you with all my riches, is what he's saying. If you are faithful with a little, then you will be faithful in much. What I need to know about my calling is my calling is a gift from God. It's God's purpose for my life. I was chosen before I was born. He had it mapped out before I was born. My sins and my mistakes, my dumbness cannot revoke or change my calling. My calling is irrevocable. It's permanent. And my calling is to be connected to others. And God empowers the things that he has gifted and wired me to do. He's empowered me. There is a prize for me living out my calling. And this one final verse drives it home. And this would be, I want you to take home and just rivet into your soul. Listen to this verse. Live the kind of life that pleases God, who calls you to share in his own kingdom and glory. Live the kind of life that God calls you to share in His own kingdom and His own glory. So why is this living out your calling so important? Well, the calling is for you. It's not just for me. It's not just for the vocational minister. The calling is for every believer to live out their faith, to enact in what God has called us to do, so that we can bring others along with us along the way. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this day. Thank you for these words. Your scripture never returns void. Father, I believe that you have in this room some of our senior adults right now. They have been so faithful. They come week in and week out. Many of them right now just need a fresh touch from you, Lord. Many in this room right now, and our young adults in this room, and our meeting adults in this room just need a fresh touch from you, Lord. This is as a reminder that you called and gifted us, every one of us. Lord, I pray that you give them courage to stand up and step out if they need to. I pray, Father, that they will get involved in their call. They will commit to their call. They will commit to the thing that you've called them to, that wired them to do. There's so many talented people in this congregation, Father. I say it all the time. Lord, you hear me say it all the time. What a high-capacity congregation Roswell Street is. Father, sometimes we can get in our own way. Sometimes we just need to surrender to your lordship and let you direct our steps, guide us every step of the way. But the most important thing that we need to do, Lord, today is to surrender to your lordship today. Surrender to your calling. I'll never forget that moment. That moment when I said, Lord, I'm signing the check. I don't know what the amount is. You're going to fill in the blanks. But I'm going to completely surrender my life to you. I had no idea that you would give me the blessings that you've given Deb and I. And Lord, I know that I've been unfaithful time and time again and made mistakes time and time again. But Lord, as transparent as I can be in front of this congregation today, Lord, I pray they will be the same way. Just transparent before you to say, I've messed up. I've made some mistakes. But by your grace, Lord, you will give them a fresh new life, look on life, and a fresh new opportunity. Do your work in this place. And we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to stand. Pastor Ron is going to lead us in our time of invitation right now. And maybe you just need to come and kneel here at the front. Or maybe you need to come and speak to one of our encouragers. Whatever the case may be, one of our pastors will be here at the front as well. You come. We stand. And I say amen. And you come. Father God, do your work in this place. In Jesus' name we pray.